गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let's just take a few minutes, sit quietly. Try to sit with the spine tall, back relaxed. Take a few very long and deep breaths. Following the breath very closely with your attention. And let the breath flow in its own natural way. And just sit quietly and watch the breathing flowing. Don't feel there's any struggle. I'm simply aware of the breath. And see that as I watch the breath, the experience is I experience something, the movement of the breath, and other things that the mind runs to, sounds, thoughts, etc., they come and go. But in and through these constant changing experiences, throughout each moment and each experience, I'm aware, I'm present. I get lost in thought for some time. When I become aware again, if I look back to that time when I was caught up in other ideas, thoughts, feel any moment there, I'm the same presence, same awareness, same one who was there as is here now. Each and every moment, I am, I'm aware, is there. What I'm aware of, the experience may vary. But this background presence awareness is constantly there. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So last week, we introduced one other part of the inquiry, which is also very essential in self-inquiry like this, because myself as an individual, it's not something separate from the world. You can't separate it. If I say I'm the individual and I put myself one place, the world somewhere else, it's like saying, let me go to the bay, let me take a wave and let me keep it somewhere and leave the rest of the bay there. You can't. So if I just want to isolate, look at myself and not at the totality, then it's not going to totally do it. So that has to be understood as well. That's why in inquiry, both are looked into, the individual as well as the totality, like this. So last week we spent a little time to look at the totality. And we said, okay, so there's this whole universe around us. We experience this whole thing. And then the whole universe, we see everything that's there, whatever we experience. You see a mountain, you see a river, you see an insect. Everything came out of something else. It wasn't there all the time. It's an effect of something that was there before. So everything we see there's some cause and effect relation there. So we say, well, where cause-effect relation, so it had to come from somewhere. So there must be somewhere where eventually say, this is the cause that everything came from. It's not possible to say it's going back eternally and never having a cause. There must be some cause. And actually, science, what it's looking at, it's saying, okay, let me find the generic behind. What are the certain laws that are governing? Because those laws mean this is what is behind everything. So eventually, there has to be eventually some base. It can't start if you get to a base and you say there are multiple things here, it's still not the base. Those things have to be relying on something else. So we say, okay, eventually you have to get to one thing that's behind everything. It doesn't make sense otherwise. So we say, okay, there must be the one base behind everything. And so we have to give it a name, because otherwise we'll have to keep referring to that. We name things just so that we can point them out. That's all. It doesn't mean because I name something, now I know it. Like we say the word infinite, unlimited. Do you know it? No, but it's pointing to some concept like this, right? So it's pointing to something that then it helps us to discuss and look into it. So we call it Brahman. The reason Brahman, it means expansive, spaceless. So that which is not limited by the limitations we see of objects in this world, objects and phenomena, because it's what the substratum behind it. And the substratum behind won't be limited like in the same way as the objects are, like this. So then we say, okay, so there's the one infinite, which has to be different than the world. If it's a part of the changing phenomena, it changes, it's not the same thing anymore, so it's not the base. It's like, let there be waves and storms in the ocean, but it's water. Water is H2O, it's always H2O. The changes don't affect the substance. So there has to be some substance. So this substance can't be changing into this. You know, it manifests as this, but if it changed, it's not there anymore. It's not infinite absolute. We say, okay, so it has to be this infinite absolute in and through everything, the substance of everything. And then how does it change into this is very interesting. In order to change, some catalyst has to be there. If the catalyst is something separate from this, we haven't gotten to the bottom of it, right? If it's a part of it, again, it's going to be something that is, if it has parts, then it's something that changes. It's separate from something else. Now, as we said that this issue is in the theology. You know, theology, it says, okay, there's one thing behind everything, the God's behind everything, which is very good. But then theology has a problem, because in theology, the God is all the good and loving, and the evil is kept elsewhere for the devil and for the hell, like this. And then the God, unfortunately, is not granted a visa to go into the hell, because it's not the divine place. It can't be. How can that be created by God? Impossible. So there's a problem. Now the God is limited. It can't be the infinite, all powerful, because it's limited by something else. So we say, well, the one substance behind everything has to be in and through everything. If it's excluded, it's not that one. But then how does it change? Where does it get material to do it? How can it come from somewhere else? So again, theology will just say, the God is all powerful, created the world. How can you just believe that's how it is? Now, it's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with believing something. But here we'll say, well, it's okay. But the thing is, if you just believe and don't look into and understand, it's just stunting your understanding. You want to look into, you want to know. And then saying that I'm studying something and I don't fully understanding, but pending a little more, then I'll get it. That's acceptable. But if something you can't look into, then what does that mean? You can't look into, you can't inquire into. That doesn't make sense. It's just, why? Why not? So here we say, well, what happens then is when we look into, we say, okay, if the whole thing came out of this one, then this one, first of all, the universe is very methodical. Everything is totally methodical, orderly, meaning that it can't be randomly thrown together. This is the interesting thing when scientists talk about the Big Bang, a very orderly explosion. Explosions aren't orderly. So meaning there's some intelligence behind it. So we say, yes, so the good. So say Brahman, you can say it's the God. So this one is, okay, creator, but where's the material from? You say, well, the material has to be that one as well. The material, the intelligence behind the universe has to be that. The material also has to be that. Because otherwise you're not getting to the oneness behind everything. It doesn't make sense. You still haven't gotten to the substratum. You say, okay, so there has to be one and the same. The intelligent cause and material cause have to be one and the same. Not like some craftsperson taking some material, making something and leaving it there on exhibition and they're going home, that the material is separate from them. So what happens then is somebody will say, well, that sounds very nice, but give me an example of something similar to this. How can there be something where the creator is also the material? We don't see anything like that. We say, yes, there is something like that, and you know it very well. And we say it's the dream. In the dream, you're the creator of everything. You're the one behind it. You created your dream. You can't blame the waking state. You can blame the government. You can blame family members. You can blame your boss. The dream, you can't. The dream, only yourself. You're the creator. And where's the material for the dream from? From you, from your own mind. You create it, and you sustain it. You also, it also goes away. When it goes away, where does it go? It just, you know, merges back into you. So there you're the intelligent and the material cause, like this. Now, here's a very interesting thing. The dream is only you. What is the catalyst to let the dream come up? The waking state, you're not dreaming. To have the dream, you have to forget your individuality as a waker, right? Your whole character, personality here. So before the dream starts, you have to have some deep sleep. The deep sleep is the pure ignorance. Pure avidya, we call it, pure ignorance, that I know nothing. That's dream, this deep sleep, I know nothing. So when the covering is there, I forget myself as this individual, then I can project something else. So this way, there's a twofold process. First of all, there is the covering that I don't see clearly. And there's the projection of something else. Like the story we had of the snake and rope. It's dark enough that I can't see the rope clearly. So I can't see what it is. So I project something else on it. And we like to project more things that we're afraid of than things that, instead of something, oh, very, very nice. Like another example like this, same as snake and rope, is the post and thief. You see the post at night, looks like a person. You're afraid it might be somebody that's going to do some harm, instead of, oh, my friend might be coming, right? More of the time, out of fear, instead of out of oh, how I'm so happy to see you, like this. So we project. First there's the covering, then there's a projection. This is This is what happens. Let me just do one thing here. There we go. Just sway. Okay. So then what happens then is, so the dream, we can't dismiss the dream as having no reality, zero, because it affects us. I get up and I'm sweating or I'm very relaxed and everything. But on the other hand, you can't say it has a reality like the objects out here, like you and me sitting here. We can sit in the same room here. Of course, we're seeing each other through the screen. But in day-to-day life, you see the person, you deal with them, you touch the object. So it's different. It's something different than the dream. The dream you can't take with you like that. So we say, well, the dream must have it has a different level of reality. From perspective of waking, it's unreal. Without you, the waker, the dream can't exist, right? It depends on you. So it has a dependent reality. The dream depends on you, but can't sit on its own and doesn't have the same level of reality as the waking. So now if we go to the universe, we took it as the individual, and we look at the universal, the substratum, Brahman, for it to change, it needs a catalyst that makes it seem to change. Again, we say it has to seem to change. That's what we're getting at. If it really changed, then something separate from it changed it. How could there be something separate from it? So that's why we say, okay, there is the catalyst Maya, just like the ignorance that you have in the deep sleep and then you project the dream. That ignorance depends on you. Without you, how can that ignorance be there? You're aware of the ignorance, your deep sleep. Without you, there's no deep sleep. So there must be some power like this that helps to make the world come out. So we call it Maya. And then we say, well, and then, because whenever something's there, some power brought it into being. Nothing comes, it gets created without a power. So that Maya universal scale is like the ignorance on our individual level. And then for Maya, then the Brahman can become this whole world. And the world compared to Brahman will have to be like me, the waker, compared to my dream. Meaning that the absolute cannot really change into everything, can only seem to change. Although there's any explanation that really changes, then okay, then what's the base of the change? You have a change, something moves, changes, there has to be a substratum where it changes. And then we don't see any example of something that doesn't have a substratum like this. The river flows, there's a river bed like this. The substance water is the same, the movement and waves are changing. So that's what I say. So the Brahman has to be unchanging behind this changing. So this is what we were discussing last time, that this is when we look at the totality, we also say there has to be some unchanging thing behind it. And again, if it is something changing, if it's a changing phenomenon, that's part of the world. World means change. And actually, when we study these things, we use the Sanskrit terminology, not just because of love for a language or something like this, but because the terminology, just like if you go and study science, there'll be a lot of terminology there that's not our day-to-day terminology, because terminology is specific to that field. I think anybody's a botanist will have a very hard, you know, you have to probably speak Latin in order to be a botanist, right? So like this. So the word we use for the world, jagat, jagat meaning universe, because the root for it, jayate, means something that is born, meaning something is created. Ga for gachati, to go. Gum is the root in English, go, same thing. Gachati goes, changes. Meaning the moment something comes into being, it changes, like a wave. Everything actually manifest is a wave. It seems solid, but it is a wave. It's just movement of some particles. So it really is a wave. So that's why it's constantly changing. But you say a wave of what? There's not just wave without something. A what? What's the wave made out of? Right? So that's why jagat, jayate gachati, that which is the moment it comes into being, is changing. So like this constant flux like this. So we say that flux will not affect the substratum. It can only seem to become this. This is any other explanation would be very hard. A God is separate from everything. Where is the God? Right? The God has to be in and through everything. And then if the God changes, the God is like you and me, something changing, and we'll have, and the God will have his or her problems too. Right? Doesn't want to change. So any other explanation, doesn't seem to totally muster and make sense like this. Because the moment you give the world the same level of reality as the God, then the God has to become something limited, or we don't see another example like that. So this is about talking about the totality. Okay. Now there's one thing that's left after this. After we look at the individual and we look at the totality, we say, like this is, as you've heard surely in some places, they say, well, you are the universal consciousness. You say, well, how can it, this is, that's eventually the end, what we want to get to when we study this, after we study the individual and the totality. And totality then, just to make a point of it, then we collapse now the God and the world into one. We collapsed it because the whole world, the God is in it through everything. Everything is just a projection on, from the God. So that's why we look at, because literally three things are looked at: Jiva Jagat Ishvara, individual, the totality, and the God. But then totality and the God are merged into one, because, and actually in Hindu thought, a lot of the time they took different hymns and meditations on, yes, the whole universe is the, like the body of the God, body of the, because infinite. That's, so it's a very nice imagery to use. So what's left is to say, okay, how can there not be a separation? This is the, that I'm the universal consciousness, but the God is the universal consciousness, and I'm this little person struggling, very happy that I'll have some days off from work and looking forward to something, but then whatever, but then I can't really find the true stability I want, the true peace, contentment I want. I run around trying to get to, and in this way. So how can this limited one and that total one be one and the same? This is the, what is looked into. Now, when you say, I am that, the infinite, the God, I is this individual and that infinite God, the creator behind everything. And again, as an individual, I'm creator from that too. It's like the wave saying, I'm individual, I'm independent. It's not dependent. The wave is dependent on the whole ocean and everything. The ocean pushes it up. Its power, its substance are taken from the ocean. So myself as an individual, my body, energy, my mind as well, everything comes from the totality. So as an individual, I'm some small part. I can't say I'm that totality. That won't fly. So in that way, we can't say I'm the universal. I'm the one who created this whole universe. We can't say that. That doesn't work. But then there's a very important term which we'll bring up, and then from that we'll be able to show how this about why oneness is the underlying reality. It's like this. This term is upadhi. Upadhi, one translation given for upadhi is limiting adjunct. That somebody tried to make a very concise word to do it, something that limits, like reps, like this. But that short thing needs more of an explanation. That's not enough, because just trying to give a very concise translation doesn't do it. It's something that seemingly lends its attributes to something else. Your dream character. Are you limited to that dream character? No, you're in it through the whole dream. Whole dream's in you. But seemingly, its limited part of the dream was you. You were limited to it, seemingly. Okay? So the example that's usually given is if I had a crystal in my hand, right? And I held it up right here, it would look green because of the green wall behind me. Right? And then if I held it in front of my shirt, it would look white. So the greenness of the wall is lent to this crystal. The crystal now is green. It's not really green. It seems to be green. Right? Any attribute you give to something limits it, because the crystal has no color. It's not limited by color, because no color. But now it's limited by color. Now it's green. It's not black. It's not blue, like this. So when you add an attribute, it'll limit that. Right? I say water. Okay, water. Now I say wave. Okay, now I limit it because it's moving. It's going to be there for a short time. It's dependent on the ocean or on the lake. Right? Or I say pond. Now you know, okay, it's water, but it's, you know, up to, it's not huge. It's not as big as you know, as a lake. It's something much smaller. So the moment you give it an attribute, it means you're limiting it in this way. Okay. And actually, that's an interesting thing with the limiting. Brahma or Brahman, this is the infinite unchanging. In Sanskrit, Brahma is a neuter word because no attribute. Then when you say Brahma, you extend the A at the end. Brahma, that's the creator. And that one grammatically is masculine. You know, you can take feminine word too. And this, it just has neuter masculine and feminine. So what happens then, Brahma, so it shows the moment it, as the creator, as something that has to do with the world, you limited it to something. Now it has an attribute. But when just Brahman, then yes, okay, then neuter meaning no attribute. In any case, so the attribute added then seems to limit it. This is what happens. The crystal seems to change like that. So now, when I look at myself, I'm this little one struggling and having a good time some of the time, difficult time some of the time, all of this. Where are those difficulties? Where is that limitation? The body, the physical body, we talked about three bodies. The physical body has its limitation, right? No matter what I do, it'll have a limitation. It'll go through some pain and it'll go through the aging process. It'll be sick some of the time. Nothing we can do about that. It's part of the changing world. Maybe it can be prolonged. Okay, be prolonged, but still it's something limited changing. You can't, the body isn't something not limited. Like the wave, you say the wave isn't limited. Of course it's limited. Substantially, it's part of the ocean, but it is something limited. So as the body, it's like this, right? Now we say body. I say my body, right? But the thing is, of course, I identify very much with the body. But then when I feel the pain, the body can say, I'm in pain, or is it more correct? I'm experiencing the pain. I'm experiencing the pain is more correct because you experience it. You're aware of it. I experience the sensation of the body. Meaning I'm aware the sensation of the body can be there or not, but I'm still the same awareness. Just like the crystal can be in front of the wall or not in front of it. So it doesn't really affect the crystal, seemingly affects it. So the sensation in the body or pain in the body seemingly affects me, but it doesn't really affect me because I'm the same awareness. So it's the same with the crystal, just like the crystal and the color. If it did affect me, now I would be somebody else, something different. But as awareness, I'm the same awareness all the time, not something different. Like I am, I'm aware. This is constant no matter what. So that's the constant within me. So in this way, with the body, it can't be that the body then we say is an upadhi. Body can't not be an upadhi. I'd really be limited by it. But the thing is, whatever happens, I'm the same awareness with or without the body, as we were talked about in the sleep, right? I've dream or sleep or deep sleep. I don't experience the body then, right? So I'm there, same awareness. Then you'll say your subtle body, which is the mind, the senses, right? Mind is the main one in there. So now I'll say the mind. Now again, same with the mind. Thoughts are coming and going. But I'm the same. If I look back on any thought I had, any experience I had, as we looked a little bit when we at the beginning of the class, I'm the same awareness. Take any experience, anything you ever had. You're the same awareness. Same I am, same I'm aware was there, regardless what experience it is. So then meaning that seemingly is changing. Actually, this upadhi of the mind is a wonderful illustration it's given for it, for the mind. It's like a movie. When you have the movie, you have two factors to show the movie. You have the light of the projector and you have the film they don't have the reel anymore. It used to be like this, but let's say the reel of the film like this. So now what happens is the light is constant. Same light is constantly projected there. I remember now it doesn't happen anymore because the technology is different. But especially as a kid, you'd go because then the movie theaters were pretty rickety where I grew up. And then what would happen is inevitably every other time you go to the movie, the film gets torn, and then suddenly there's just the light on the screen, right? And people are, because it's the third time during the movie, they're upset. And then it takes them time to come and, pull it. You missed one minute or so of the movie, of the storyline, because they had to cut and get it going there like this. And I think they probably had some special kit or something to fix it there, to tape it together, however it was. So the light was still there, just the film wasn't there. So the light there will be like the awareness. I'm aware. I'm conscious. Then the mind is going to be like the film, because I'm aware, but then I see it through the filter of my mind. So we'll be good friends, and there'll be some issue that comes up. I'm going to see it in one way. You'll see it in the other. Now we're going to argue like this. Like some couple that we know, one went to Berkeley, one went to Stanford. If you live in the Bay Area, then everything else they'll agree, but Berkeley Stanford game, they'll be against each other. So because one sees it through a Berkeley alumni, one sees it through a Stanford alumni person. One person identifies, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat. Let's see it through some filter, right? I like this. I like, so we see it through the filter. So other things we don't, that filter isn't either my filter is more flexible, so it doesn't matter. Or what happens is, or we see from a similar angle, so it's not a problem. But the differences are because just in the mind, not in myself, the awareness. So the awareness goes through the filter of the mind, and actually the whole design of the world, everything is, whatever technology we have is nothing compared to the whole design of the universe, obviously. It's just a tiny part of it. The deep sleep is created so important, because in the dream, I'm also an individual, and I need a break from this personality, individual. I need, if I don't, if somebody doesn't sleep at all for a few days, they go crazy. Because you need a break from this personality that you identify with, right? A break from the movie, like this. Imagine just watching movie on and on and on. You need a break from it. So then the deep sleep gives you a break from it, like this. So the design was made like this. It really helps us. Otherwise, it'd be very, much more difficult to deal with everything. Somebody that's done something horrific or something horrible happened to them. In the deep sleep, they also get a break from it, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to take it like this. So then we say the body, the mind is the upadhi. One more, the source upadhi, the seed of the upadhi is the ignorance, the karana sharira. If you remember, karana sharira, we said the seed body, the causal body, which is there in the deep sleep. Because in the deep sleep, when I wake up, I say, I knew nothing. I saw nothing. I like this, nothing. Now I identify as, okay, nothingness, but I was aware of the nothingness. So I wasn't the nothingness, but I identify with, okay, there's nothing. So that, and nothingness, this is pure ignorance. And we explained it just like if this is pure darkness, right? Or if I have a good cover over my eyes, probably these magicians or people that throw the swords, they probably cover the eyes, but have, 90% covered. Otherwise, it would be more dangerous when they throw the knives when somebody's standing in front of the screen there. But in any case, if pitch dark, then I see nothing. I'm seeing nothing. I'm seeing the nothing. So the seeing is still there, but of nothing. So deep sleep, I'm aware of nothing. That nothing, there still isn't the awareness, but I identify with that. Identify with that because nothing, then everything else covered. Now I can project some other dream world. go into the dream instead of deep sleep. So in any case, we say that's also an upadhi because that's the base. Because I'm not that ignorance, but I identify with the limitation of ignorance. Because just as awareness, I'm aware. I am and I'm aware. Where's the problem? No problem. That's why we like to be present with something. Somebody plays golf. They think they like golf, but they're sitting, standing there, they're focusing, they're taking time. So they're more aware, present, less thinking other things. So then they're happy like this. Somebody hates golf because it's hard for them to get focused in it, but they like something else because their mind tunes into it. So then they're dropping their identification, they're content. But then they take it due to that condition. Instead of seeing, hey, I'm aware, I'm present. The fact that I'm aware is constant. If I go golfing, I'm with my friend. My friend likes to go golf and I don't. But if I go, I'm still that same awareness. What difference does it make? So the source, and we say the source of the mind, the body, is this ignorance because I identify as some, you know, I don't see what I am. I'm just the awareness. And then I identify with these other things. But in any case, so what happens is, so there's the upadhi, and then there's me, the awareness, the awareful being. And then since the upadhi is, something has to be close, so close to something else in its proximity somehow in order to affect it. So because of proximity, it seems then now to make the, to give its qualities to the upadhi gives the qualities to the original. So I'm the consciousness, I am, I'm aware. And now the mind, the body are there, and then seems to get filtered through them like this. And then I seem to be limited. So really I'm the awareness, the conscious is not this limitation. So this is me, the individual. So this, I'm the infinite, the consciousness is not filtered by these. You'll say, no, but I feel limitation of the body. Well, the light in the movie, you know, in the movie, it seems like something very limited too, but is it really limited to that? You know, to the room where you're seeing the scene. It's not that room. It's within you. It's within your body, your mind, or within the awareness. It's not limited by it. It just seems to be limited by it. So we say, okay, so I'm the consciousness, which is unchanging, unlimited. Very good. Because any limitation you put on it, that really belongs to body or mind, something else. It doesn't belong to the consciousness. Now we look at the universal. Now the universalists say, well, the God is everything, in and through everything. But as just like with me, I have the ignorance, which is the source of the upadhi. In the universal, we say Maya is the upadhi, that one which is the power which everything is created by it. We see it through the filter of Maya. Maya, we see it that things, what happens is we'll never see the things as they are because I see when I, the moment I see something, this actually is a very important point that Adi Guru Shankara, the main his texts and commentaries we study the most, most brilliant teacher of Vedanta that's known from 2000 years ago or so. So in any case, the moment you experience something, that means it's an appearance. You think about it. The moment you experience something, it's going through the filter of senses and the mind. Senses are limited, mind is limited. So it's going through that filter and then you don't see for what it is. So the world seems to be in a certain way, but it's not. Science is showing whatever you get to seems to be, yeah, we're kind of there, we're close. That's what the scientist always says. We understood this phenomena. I remember there was one scientist, some top physicist, who was giving a TED talk. And he had a very big, complex algorithm there, like a whiteboard, which the whole thing was there. And he said, this one we figured out mathematically in this algorithm, why things are blue, why they have this weight, so much, how everything in the world we figured out. You know, of course, we see that calculation, just, you know, a few dozen people understand it in the world, probably. And then he said, but you see the problem in it. And this, within all that, there was one point, one variable. Some, this one we don't get. We're not getting. Once we get that one, we're going to understand. So that's, I say, you cannot understand because It's like trying to understand the whole story in the dream. You can't totally get in the movie, you can't totally get to the bottom of it because still you're as part of the movie. The projector is what's behind it. So really the reality of it is something not at the same level. So you can't get to calculation, get to infinite through calculation. You can't. So in any case, in the totality, we say also there's the one consciousness and then infinite unchanging. If it was changing, we said it couldn't be the bottom line of everything. But then we see it through the filter of Maya, through the filter of some attributes and limitations, because you can't experience it otherwise. You know, the moment you want to experience something, it has to go through some sort of filter, right? You know, you have a friend, you don't really know me. Your friend is going through some difficult time, so they're upset. Yes, I do. You like to do this. Not that I like that. Me. Yes, I know you. You know, you have, you know, you look like this and like this. No, that's just my appearance. You don't know me. What can you ever answer? You can never know like that because that's the consciousness. You can't. Anything else. You have these moods. You have these likes. No. That's just some things in my mind. Of course. How can you know as a second thing? You know, not possible. It's the whole universe like this. We can't really. People want to see the God. You can't. How are you going to see? The moment you say, I see something, experience, I experience the God. I regret meditation, I experience the God. Well, are you experiencing now? No. Meaning your experience was limited to time? Yes. Can God be limited time? No, God can't be limited time. Well, but how can that be the God? You have some very wonderful experience. There's nothing wrong with it. It's great. But you label it as something. Every experience has to be the God because the God is in it through everything. But the moment we experience it goes through some filter and that can't be exactly what it is. So we say, okay, so also the God we're seeing through the reflection of Maya, the God itself, the Brahman, Brahman then is the unchanging behind. Actually, most religions are talking about what we call Brahma or Hiranyagarbha, creator, meaning the moment, the first moment, this actually, when we go to the Upanishad class, we'll go into this much deeper in January. Then the moment the infinite reflects through Maya, the moment that happens, then that first thing is that's okay. Now you have the power, which is about from that, everything will come out. Like the moment you went into you were in the deep sleep, the moment you start, you know, coming out of the deep sleep, not to the waking, to the dream, now you're about to create that whole dream world. So now you're the creator of that whole dream world before the whole, now the whole dream world comes out of you. So that is what most people think of as the God, but we say there's a step behind it because again, that's a position. The God doesn't have a permanent position. The God is infinite, unchanging. Creator is just when you see it through the God through Maya. So we say there's the upadhi, here is the totality. Just like with me, my body, mind, everything, senses, all this together, upadhi, I'm functioning through it. So the universal, the whole universe, physical universe, subtle universe, causal universe, just like on my side. Subtle is energy and, you know, thought if you want. And causal, well, before the creation, what was there? Before the man of singularity, that's like my deep sleep. So there's the causal there. Behind all that, those that were upadhis of the one in of the, that's the upadhi, which is of the God. So now, I'll give you a nice example. You have a dewdrop that's sitting there. You look at it closely, you can see the tiny reflection of the sun there, right? Tiny, tiny dot. You see, oh, well, I can see the sun reflected here. Now, you go up to the space station. What do they call that? The International Space Station, right? Next time you go there'll be a very clear day. There are no clouds that day. And you can look down into the huge ocean. You see huge reflection of the sun. So the totality of the water, you're seeing a huge reflection. That huge reflection and that tiny reflection, the dewdrop, are very different. But what is reflected in the ocean and reflected in the dewdrop, are those two different things, are the same one? Same one is reflected in the totality of the water there. Same one is reflected in the tiny dewdrop. Same sun is reflected in both. Not two different suns, not the reflection in the dewdrop isn't a part, that which is reflected in the dewdrop is not a part of that which is reflected in the ocean. The same thing is reflected in both, right? Same sun reflected in both of them. The upadhi, that which is reflecting, is different. One is tiny, and you know, any moment the dewdrop just goes and it's gone. One is there, been there for millennia, you know, for age of millions, millions of years, and will be there, the ocean, totality of the water here. But so the reflection is very different, but that which is reflected is the same. So when I see that within me, meaning me, if I put me, essential me, where I put aside the limitation, the body mind, the idea of body mind, I put aside, I'm aware is constant. That Sanskrit is sat chit, existence, sat, I am. Chit, conscious, I'm aware. Those two are constant. So it's not something constant has to be unlimited, unchanging. It can't be constant and limited in some way, because then if there are other things, there'll be some rubbing against each other. Something is going to cause some change. So it's not possible to have something that limited and changes. So it has to be unlimited, unchanging. Universal, the substratum of everything, sat, pure existence, has to be also something unlimited, unchanging. So how can you have two unlimited unchangings? If there are two, they're going to have to start. They'll limit each other if there are two. Now, the unfortunate thing is then people give different names and then they start fighting about the nomenclature. The story that's given is that one person comes and is very thirsty and says, please, I want agua. Other person comes and says, I want water, right? Other person says, I want jal, water in Hindi. So in this way, they're going to argue over that, and nobody's going to quench their thirst. The substance is the same thing. So when we say there is the one unchanging, it has to be the one and same thing. So that's why we say, in essence, there is no difference between myself and the universal. There is no difference. But because I take the upadhi, that which covers and makes it seem to look different and limited, changing, qualified, then I see the differences. So in this way. So as the individual, yes, I'm part of the whole and limited. And yes, I'd like the wave. But when I look at the substance behind who I am in essence, not just the individual in essence behind this, it's the same as the totality. Just as the wave, take some substance of the wave and take substance of the ocean, compare them, it's identical, same substance, not something different. They're water and that's it. But when you take the form, when you take the temporary, you know, changing part, yes, you'll see the differences. So this is how we say then that Aikyam, there's no difference between the two in essence. That the essence is that you can't see a difference in this way. Now what happens, of course, my identification with my attributes is very deeply ingrained, right? Just take this lifetime. How much have I built my identification as this individual? So much. Everything I do, everything I identify with is dependent on that. I have to be this individual for it. Anything you do has to go through the filter of the individual, has to be part of the movie. So this is something that is totally different from it. And then it doesn't mean, stop the movie in order to know that the awareness is there. That's not the meaning of it, because let's say you do something like that, meaning you quiet the mind completely. Oh, I'm just aware of presence. The issue is still that's a state of mind. The mind has become quiet. So it's like the clear reflection of the mind. Now the mind gets noisy again. Oh no, I lost it. What happened? So the understanding has to be there that when the mind is quiet, I'm aware of the quiet mind, because I'm the awareness, I'm not the upadhi. Mind is a little noisy, I'm aware of the noisy mind. So the understanding, we say, has to be there. And so that's why one has to really look into it, take time to look into it, because out of habit, I just identify, it's not easy not to identify with, because I'm so used to identifying with the upadhi, with the body mind. It's a, you know, old habit. It takes a while to overcome old habits, right? You can't just to throw it all at once. It's, now again, nobody says it's not possible to do it. Why not? It's just a matter of looking into closely, understanding, and then seeing it. So usually, as I said, for most people, we, you know, stay for a while, study for a while in this manner, like we're doing, taking time to listen to it, shravanam, like this. As the picture gets clear, we understand, reflecting on it, learning how to meditate on. So these three pronged of the listening, shravanam, the mananam, learning how to reflect on it, and then the vidhyasanam, meditating on it, then becomes clear, clearer. Then the other habits aren't grabbing me as much. For most people, it takes, we have to be patient, we have to stick to it for an extended period. You know, there doesn't mean there aren't people, like in any field, there's some genius that quickly just like that. Like my wife teaches the classical dance, the Odissi dance. So this time of year, all the festivals. So I've seen my whole fill for the whole year by just seeing a few days of this. And you see, and they're okay. But then once in a while, somebody comes up. And yesterday, there's a young boy, must be 9, 10, I don't know. Little boy, my God, if he sticks to it, he'll be one of the most famous ones of next generation. So it just blows your mind. Wow. So some people like this, yes. Other people who work hard, and most of us, it does take effort to look into, there's no doubt. But not to make that a limitation. Oh, I can't do it in this. It's not so complicated like this. It's just a matter of really understanding and looking into it, having the openness to look into it. And also openness to look into, and also people talk of surrender, the surrender that I've my ideas, no, I'm this. And that I'm this is part of my individuality. And that's why when we listen to, and it's pointed out like this, then that helps to pierce beyond just the limitation, the because I'm not driving, but I'm aware, I'm following it. So it's kind of somebody pointing out something, said, look at this. And then when you listen to it, it can become very clear. And then, oh yeah, that's what it is. And as you keep doing that, slowly can be more clear, kind of like easier for you to pierce through and just see on that. And then slowly, slowly can see, you know, it becomes clear to oneself in this way. So somebody has to patiently look at it, because if you think of it, anything else that we're doing means I'm doing things through the body and mind, as body and mind. And that's, so most things that I do help to thicken the identification. Thinning the identification is what we discussed 2 weeks ago with Karma Yoga, and then the four means for liberation, because that helps to prepare the stage so it's easier for me to see it. Because the easier then when I listen to it, much easier just to see, oh yes, I'm that. This body I can feel, but the sensation comes and goes within the awareness. This mind is thinking some nonsense, but it's moving within the awareness that I am. Again, out of habit, we keep staying with that because habit is habit, meaning it's something that has been repeated. So to not do it, one has to be aware how not to be caught up in it. So that's how the whole process of study is of this. And we say study because at Vedanta you do study like this in the manner that we're doing. And then, and so, what happens is this total separation seems to be so, so thick. But when you think about it, that separation is there as long as you think and identify with it. Like in the deep sleep, where's your separation? No limitation. When you're really present with anything you're doing, you're aware, present, where's the problem? Where's the limitation? But the moment I take on and identify as the thoughts, the body, and this, then it's, and then I take myself to be that much in this way. So then one has to keep slowly looking into it. That's why I said why it's called self-inquiry. It's an inquiry. I'm looking into it. So you look into it and inquire. And again, it's not that the intellect, of course, is being used for it. But the intellect then is like the microscope, meaning the microscope is an instrument. It's not what you're looking at, because it's not just an intellectual understanding. Because we can write a dissertation on this and then go and feel miserable and sorry, what am I going to do next? Oh no, I'm worried. What will I do next now that I finished my doctorate? Will I be able to teach somewhere? What will happen to me? Should I get a different job in the private sector? Like that. Meaning that the intellectual understanding is one thing, but it's pointing to something. So this is pointing to you, the awareful being, and it helps to point to it because you are the awareful being. It's not something new, something that you're not. It's helping just to put aside, okay, this you experience, so it comes and goes. So that's not, you're the one who's behind the experience, not that limitation you're talking about. That's part of the experience. If you put it aside, look, understand the difference between you, the awareness, and what is experience. So the intellectual understanding points to it. And then I keep, just like with the microscope, looking closely to fully understand. We look closely like this to really have a clear understanding. And then, you know, when if I understand, okay, I'm that. What's the, then there's no problem. Okay. So that's really the whole idea, so that I can, if I know, understand this very clearly, there's no problem, then what can disturb me? What can bind me? Right? What can make, and we want to be content. What can, as an individual, I can never be fully content. Because if you're fully content, you're not an individual anymore, because anything happens doesn't shake you. So you're not identifying body or mind if you're fully content. So we want to be fully content, but as an individual, we can never get there with this. Just yesterday, somehow in some discussion, I brought up that I remember years back that my uncle, he mentioned, I must have been a teenager or whatever, listening at the time to rock music or whatever. And so the Rolling Stones, he says, my favorite Rolling Stones song is I Can't Get No Satisfaction, But I Tried, this one that Mick Jagger sing. Look, you can't get, we try to become satisfying. I try to become content through the worldly means as the individual. How much we try, but we can't do it. Right? We're looking for it, but we're barking up the wrong tree, if you want to say that. We're the understanding, yes, okay. Well, yes, there will be some things the body and mind like more, some they don't like as much, okay. Right? There'll be ups and downs, okay. Everything that'll come will go, yes, but I, the awareful being, I'm not touched by it, so not limited by it, so then what's the problem? Then real contentment is there. So it's not something I go and get, it's my nature. That's why we mentioned sat and chit. You're the consciousness, meaning your existence and consciousness, existence awareness. Ananda is the bliss, happiness, contentment, because of true happiness meaning contentment. I'm content what's there. Say so that's also third thing, the you as the consciousness, your Satchidananda, existence, awareness, and ananda, content. Content also means not limited. When you're content, you're not limited, and you're happy, happy within yourself. Because what do you need then? Anything else, I'm happy because of something, that cause will eventually not do it anymore. But it's in it. I try to be happy, I'm not happy. When I'm just happy, what's the, if I stop trying to be happy, I'm just happy, I'm content in myself. So we say that's also your nature like this. So sat chit ananda, sat, you're the pure existence, constantly always there, unchanging. You're chit, the consciousness, you're the awareness, light behind all the experiences, just like light makes you see. The eye see, the fact that you're conscious, you're aware, makes experience possible, and you're ananda, you're the unchanging, so fully content like this. So we say this is the nature, and so that is the same as what's the universal, because the difference is just the medium which it is reflected through, otherwise same thing. So then the classes we usually have, which is how I've studied for the last 10 years with the teacher, is it's not there's an exact timeline. We'll take up this Upanishad, it'll take 6 months to a year, because we study it closely. We look at it, we take our time. Like last text we did, there's a commentary on it. We went out, like we discussed Maya for like a month, where we went out on some commentary on it to understand it even deeper and better. So we take our time with it. And then, because the quality of looking into is the important thing. So that's something in mid late January. I was going to start mid January, but we'll delay by a week or two because some of the people are away that can't come. So I'll send an email about it soon. So within a month, in about a month's time, we'll start that. So anybody that's interested in that is more than welcome to join that class, of course. So with this, let me just say a small mantra to close and then open up for any discussion or questions. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Oh, I see Ayesha to go, because she can join us. So any questions before we finish for today and forever? No, for forever, for this course. That's it, last chance.
You mentioned the text that we'll be using next. Upanishads, just get that anywhere, right?
Okay, there are many different Upanishads. This one we're going to do is called Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad, and I'll supply the text to you. I ordered here in India, somebody that has it with the translation. Whoever's taking part in the class. So if they're in the Bay Area, I'll give to them. Otherwise, we'll mail to them. And then there is a commentary on it that I'll recommend. But it's called Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka, Mundaka. Is there?
Mundaka.
We'll discuss.
Okay.
Yeah, Mundaka. There are many Upanishads, 10 that are considered major ones. This is one of those. And then in the class, we'll cover everything to discuss what it is, why that, everything. Because the Upanishads are these teachings, they all go back to there. That's where we have the original source, and that's where the seers of times your had put it down. And then they're always studied with commentaries because, again, linguistically and ideas are, if you take, from a few thousand years ago, people's ideas won't be exactly the same. And also, if you have a text which just gives something that's very brief, you need to expound on it, just like now, because we could very easily say, there's the God, right, unchanging, and reflects through the whole universe. And you're the individual, you reflect the body, mind, and it's the same one. Done. But we took this time to discuss it that makes it a little more clear. That's why the text is the base, the framework, and to expound, to really have the understanding, that's what the whole discussion is for in the class.
Yeah, okay, and this will be done by Zoom as well, right?
Oh yeah, same exact
okay.
thing. Once
okay.
we get started, once after a few weeks, if there are sufficient people in the Bay Area that are in Fremont area can come in person, we'll do it, we'll do it in both. We'll
I'm
see.
In LA, so.
Okay, so it won't affect you. So we'll see. But yes, on Zoom, yeah. My feeling is because since the pandemic, this class originally was in San Francisco, actually, before the pandemic. And so probably it'll just continue online. But the online part, whatever happens, it won't stop. That for sure. We'll do it like that. Yeah. And we'll start in late January, and I'll send an email about it very soon. And then, yeah.
No, thank you for doing this. This has been very illuminating, and the timing of this, I was telling Fatima, couldn't be better, because I appreciate that I can think my way kind of through this, and it makes where I am right now, it makes sense. I'm not expected to just accept, something that's been made up by someone else, but it actually makes a lot of sense to me right now, and I look forward to exploring it even more.
I'm very happy. That's what Vedanta, it helps to unfold. It says, look at it, here's how you look at it. Now it's this, it's in this frame, and this. Now then How are you going to think? So it does, you know, does say you are that infinite and changing. It does say, but then now, okay, here's how you can look into it so you can know for yourself. Because otherwise, as you said, it will just stay in some frame. And then, so that's why I find that really fascinating. I find
It
it.
is.
Well, I'm very glad that you joined us. And I look forward to more classes in the future to discuss these some more.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for
You're
getting this
very
going. I look
welcome.
forward to next year.
You're very welcome. You take care. I look forward to seeing both of you.
Thank you.
Take care.